Let's settle in. We're going to continue on in our sermon today. As we, we're going to continue on in our series on experiencing God. We've been talking about what it means to experience God in our life, not just know about Him, but know Him, right? To have an experience with Him. Last Sunday, we talked about hearing God, hearing His voice, hearing Him when He speaks to us, and how that's important in experiencing Him. Today, we're taking another step. We're talking about not just hearing God, but we're talking about the time when God puts a specific call on your life. All right? When God has something to say to you specifically, a job for you specifically, not a general revelation, which God does, right? He leads us and guides us through His Word and all that. But every once in a while, in the Christian life, God's going to step in and say, you, specifically you, I have a job for you to do. Right? And usually when that happens, it kind of causes this crisis of faith, right? It's like, at that moment when God says, I got a job for you to do, at that moment, it leads us to say, that's when it really tells us whether what you say you believe about God is really what you believe about God, right? When He asks to do something. That's our starting point today, our foundational truth. Our foundational truth is this. How we respond to God's call reveals what we truly believe about Him. How we respond to God's call truly reveals what we truly believe about Him. We say we trust in God. We say we know He's a good God. We say we know He cares for us. We say we know He'll provide for us and lead us and all that. Until He asks us to do that thing that's outside of the box, that crazy thing, that thing that you never thought you would do, and you know God's moving on your heart, He's putting a call on your life to do this thing, and that's when it's going to take stepping out. And that's when it really reveals, when God puts that call in your life, it really reveals what you truly believe about God, whether you believe Him or not. It kind of makes it this crisis of faith, this turning point in your life, this fork in the road. And you can always look back at that fork in the road. It's going to affect your life one way or the other. Whether you obey or not, you can always look back and say, I did it or I didn't. And your life's going to be different either way. Right? For me, that moment happened right out of college. Some of you know my story, but right out of college, I just graduated from University of Washington with a degree in finance. My life was in good shape. I got a job as a credit manager for a consumer finance company in Seattle, Fortune 500 company. I was doing well, dating this girl. I thought I was going to marry her, live in this house with all these friends, and had a lot of family and friends around and all this. It was great. And then God put a call on my life. He says, Tom, remember that mission trip you took back to college for a week and you went and ministered to those kids in Compton? He says, I want you to do that. That week mission trip, you had regular life and you took a break for a week to go do the mission trip. He says, I want you to reverse it. I want your life to be that mission trip. From now on, that's what I want you to do. I want you, your life is the mission trip. Okay, that's what I want you to do. And He put a very specific call on my life in such a clear, obvious, loud way that the question wasn't whether or not that's God. The question wasn't, is this really Him? What He wants? I knew it was God. And the question was obedience. Am I going to do it or not? It put me at a crisis of faith. All these things I say about God, do I really believe them? And it's all revealed in how we respond in those times. How we respond to God's call reveals what we truly believe about Him. All right? Okay, so when we are faced with God's call in our life, when you have that moment, when God puts that call in your life to do something out of the box crazy, when God says, Terry, I want you to quit your job, leave all your family and friends, leave your apartment, and go to Mexico to work in an orphanage. When God says something like that, how do we respond? We have things to remember. When God puts a call in our life, things to remember when faced with God's call. Here's what we need to remember. First thing is this. Success is not dependent on your abilities, but on God's power. Success is not dependent on your abilities, but on God's power. When God put that call in my life, said, Tom, I want you to go leave your job, move down to Southern California, go live in Compton and work with these inner city kids. My first reaction is, you got this all wrong. You got the wrong guy. I'm a planner. I added it up, and it didn't add up. Right? It didn't make sense. Why would God call me to do that? Why would God, first off, I didn't have any street cred. Right? I didn't have any street knowledge. I didn't know what it was like, you know. I lived out, I grew up in the woods. My normal Saturday was off catching crawdads and building a dam in the creek. All right? That's what my Saturdays look like. Right? I don't know anything about the street. Why would God call me to do that? Why would God call me to this racial reconciliation ministry? I mean, my high school, we had one African-American person in my high school, and he was starting running back in the football team.
All right?
I mean, that was my high school. All right? I didn't know anything about any cultures other than my own. All right? Why would God call me to that? I didn't have any connections in Southern California. I didn't know anybody. I mean, all my connections, my relationships were in Washington, my knowledge was in Washington, and I just been training to have a finance degree. I had all this business and all. I got this business degree, right? So I had all this, that was my training and all I've been building towards. That made no sense for God to call me to do that. I looked at it and said, this is not going to work. I'm the wrong guy, because it does not add up, right? Okay, you don't want to just hear about me. Let's look at something in the Bible, all right? That might be better. Let's look at something in the Bible. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at Moses, all right? Moses had a similar circumstance I had. Since it's in the Bible, it's probably better for this. Moses chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 10. What's going on here? The Israelites, the people of God, they're suffering in slavery to Egypt. All right, the Egyptians have under slavery, and they're suffering, or they're crying out to God. And then, so God's got a plan to save his people. He comes to Moses in a burning bush, right? Appears to Moses in a burning bush, and this is what he says. Exodus 3, verse 10 is what I'm going to read, starting at verse 10. Are you there? Okay. So now, this is God talking to Moses through the bush. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Okay, so he puts this monster call on Moses' life. He says, here's what we're going to do, Moses. I'm sending you. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and through that, Pharaoh's going to release the entire nation out of slavery, and we're going to march out of Egypt. You got it? That's what's going to happen. Monster call, right? Look how Moses responds, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God, you got the wrong man. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? Who am I that I would do this? First off, Pharaoh don't like me. I'm on the run from that dude because I just killed somebody, right? And I've been in hiding because I murdered somebody. I'm wanted in Egypt. If I show up there, they're going to put me in prison. Why is Pharaoh going to listen to me? And besides, I'm an Israelite. He's not going to listen to me. And why would the Israelites even follow me? Because yes, I'm an Israelite, but I grew up in the house of Pharaoh. Right? They look at me as a turncoat. They think that I rolled over. You know, and I wasn't out working the fields with them. I wasn't out working as a slave. I was living in the palace. They're not going to listen to me. They don't like me either. Who am I? Who am I that you would send me? I looked at this. God, I checked this out. This is not going to succeed. I looked at my abilities. I looked at the job description. They don't match. This isn't going to work. Look at God's response. Verse 12. God said, I will be with you. We can stop right there. He says, you know why it's going to work? I'll be with you. The reason it's going to work is God says, I'm going to be the one that does it. Notice he does say, no, Moses, believe in yourself. You can do it. Just work hard at it. I believe in you. You can do it. You're smart enough, and people, talk around people like you. You're going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. You can do it. Just trust in yourself. You can do it. No, he says, dang right you can't do it. I'm going to do it. Right? It's based on God's power. The success is based on God's power, not his. And again, next chapter over, chapter 4, verse 10, same thing. Moses said to the Lord, it's going to sound familiar with the next chapter. 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Again, Moses said, no, again, you got the wrong guy. I can't speak. I can't do this. Verse 11. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Just don't come at me with your excuses. I put those there. You know why you can't speak good? Because I made it so you can't speak good. Don't come at me with your excuse about why you're not qualified. I'm the one who does. I'm the one who gives people their skill set. I provide all that. Don't tell me you can't do it. I know what you can do. You're the perfect one for this. You're going to do this because I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through. Again, the reason it's going to work is not based on Moses' power, but on God's power. So when we get a call in our life, we think, oh, that can't be right. It don't add up. But it never adds up. God's call will not add up. If you subtract God's power out of the equation won't add up. I guarantee it. Check it out, not just here, but all over the place. Abraham, God tells Abraham, go, leave this land, go to the land I will show you, and I'm going to make you a father of an entire nation. And Abraham says, wait, what? I have no children. My wife Sarah is barren, and she's way too old to be having kids. You got the wrong guy, right? There's this teenage girl, Mary, right? She's having a normal night, whatever. The angel of the Lord comes to her and says, hey, Mary,
You're going to be with child. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. And he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. Her response? You got the wrong girl. Right? How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. This doesn't add up. Right? This equation, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. One of the things we see in all these circumstances, God's call on your life is not going to add up without God's power. If you try to add it up without God's power, it won't add up. Now, the last one I want to point to is this. So turn over to Judges. This is the best one. Judges chapter 6, that's where we're going to spend our time. Judges 6, verse 14. What's going on in Judges? Against Israelites. Israelites, just after they've been freed from slavery, they're their own nation. They're kind of weak, right? And the neighboring countries are brutalizing them, especially the Midianites. The Israelites, they're an agricultural nation. They're harvesting and doing all this stuff. The Midianites are this warlike nation. They're buff, they're strong, they got chariots, horses, and a monster army, 120,000 people in their army. And they live next door to the Israelites. And whenever the Israelites bring in the crops, you know what the Midianites do? They march in, whoop them up, steal all the crops. Whenever they got new cattle and stuff, whenever they need cattle, the Midianites roll in, take Israelite cattle. And they're brutalizing Israelites. And Israelites are crying out to God. God comes to Gideon. And here he finds Gideon in a wine press. You know, wine press is like a where they stomp on grapes and stuff. You know, it's like a big tube or big, I don't know what to call it, big cylinder kind of thing. And he's hiding in this wine press, sipping wheat. He's hiding because he doesn't want the Midianites to see. If they see I got a bunch of wheat here, they're going to come punch me in the mouth and take it. So he's down here hiding and doing that. And God comes to him, and this is what he says. Judges 6, 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go on the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Give him a monster call. What's a call in his specific life? Monster call. Hey, what's the problem? Go defeat Midianites. Go defeat them. All right? Just go do it. What's the problem? Let's get this done. 120,000 people. Our army of 120,000 warriors. Verse 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He said, and he comes, so Gideon comes back to God and said, you got the wrong man. It can't be me. I'm not qualified. Israelites as a nation, we're not warlike like these guys. We can't handle them. And besides, my clan, we're the weakest of the Israelites. We're the weakest of the weak. And besides, in this weak family I'm in, I'm the weakest. You got the wrong man, right? You see this pattern over and over. God puts in a crazy call, this monster call on somebody. They say, you got the wrong person because I don't got the skills. And then God says, it is going to work because I'm going to do it. Next verse, verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Nobody's going to work, I'm going to do it. All right. So again, God's strength is the key in understanding about the success of God's call. When God calls us, as long as look at it and say, this isn't an Adam, therefore, it's not going to work, therefore I can't step out. Because we're forgetting God's power. God's power is key in this. And to understand this even better, let's continue on in, to make this even clearer, let's continue on in Judges here. Continue forward to Judges 7, starting at verse 2. Gideon had just gathered up the army of the Israelites. We've got 32,000 Israelites. Not bad, right? We got 32,000 weaklings going against 120,000 warriors. All right, that's where we're at. Doesn't look good, but that's the best he could do. Verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me, that her strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remains. See what he just did? He cut the army down from 32,000 to 10. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down and on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place.
So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others.
You guys just catch this? This is very interesting. God says, I want you to, we're going to, come on, you're, Gideon, we're going to defeat the Midianites. So Gideon gathered up the army, 32,000. And he says this, he sees the 32,000, says, God's like, no, 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 this ain't going to work. You got too many men. I can't defeat, this isn't going to work. Which I think that reveals something. That the goal, the purpose of this, wasn't, God's plan wasn't to defeat the Midianites. That wasn't the goal. The goal wasn't that God would defeat the Midianites. Right? Because he could have done that with 32,000 people. That wasn't the goal. He said, I can't accomplish my purpose with 32,000 of you guys. I need less. Because the real goal wasn't just the accomplishment of the task. It was the accomplishment of the task in a way that God gets the glory. Right? He says, you got too many people. You got 32,000. If I give you victory, you guys might be foolish enough to look at yourself with your chest out and say, look what we did. 32,000, we kicked off those 120,000. High fives all around. Just fist bump. So he cuts it down to 10,000. He says, if you don't want to fight, you can go home. And like 22,000, I'm like, oh, yeah, my knee's kind of sore. You know, I got to sit later. You know, I got to get up early. I got to sit this one out. Cuts it down to 10,000, right? And he still says too many. So let's go to the water. Everyone who puts their face in the water and drink, they're out. And the ones who do this, they can stay. Only 300 do this. Nothing, not anything special about that, right? But that, not like this is disobedient. But that's what God uses to sift it all the way down to 300. Why? So that God could accomplish his purpose. The purpose wasn't defeating the Midianites. He could have done that on his own. He could have had hailstorm. He didn't need any people for that. He didn't need Gideon to help in that. What he needed Gideon's help with is to use Gideon so that he would get glory out of the whole deal. Alright? So that leads us to the second thing we've got to remember. When faced with God's power, remember that God's goal is to receive glory. God's goal is to receive glory. That's what he's after. Right? He thought for his purposes, 300 was better than 32,000. Okay? He wanted less. So that was very clear it was God's power that's going to accomplish that purpose. God doesn't call you to a task that you can do on your own. Right? God's not going to call you to a task that you can do on your own because he's after glory, he's after credit. And when we're pursuing God's call, when we're going to follow God's call, we're going to remember that. The goal is for him to receive glory. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, he's doing it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he's doing it with the strength God provides. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. That when we go to serve God, we should be serving out of God's strength, out of what he provides, so that he gets the glory. He gets the credit. But that's so different than how we do it, right? How different? I do it, I'm a planner. If I'm going to do something, I add it all up, I put together the steps. Do the steps work out? At the end of these steps, this thing's going to happen. If it is, I go forward. I think that's a good way to live your life normally, right? If you want to go buy a new car, you want to see if you can afford the car payment, right? That's good. You want to operate on that logic 99% of the time. The 1% you don't want to rely on that is when God puts a call on your life to do something. When God says, do this thing, and if you go after it with that same logic, well, does it add up? I can tell you this right now, it's not going to add up, it's not supposed to add up, and you got to step out anyways, okay? It's not going to add up, it won't. I worry that we take an inventory list of what I can do. When I want to serve God, I take an inventory list of what I can accomplish, and then I serve based on that inventory list, and then when I serve, who gets the credit? I do, because it was my inventory list. Rather than what has God want from me, and then following God's call, when it's outside of my comfort zone, outside of my inventory list. And then, when I serve outside my inventory list, when I drop everything and move to Compton, there's no way I can take any glory for that, right? Because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm fish out of water, right? I got no idea what's going on. I'm walking around just like eyes wide open, right? And so God gives you credit in those situations. He wants us to serve outside of that, right? He wants us to step out in that way. You guys know the verse, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. We love walking by sight, right? We want to see it ahead of time. God puts a call on you, I want to see how this is going to work. I want to see how this is going to add up. But then we miss it. We miss out. Walk by faith. We want to step out in faith. Not just serving in our giftings. I mean, I think we get it wrong. God prefers the 300 rather than 32,000. In our weakness, he's made strong. Right? God, he wants the lesser so that he gets the glory. I mean, our weaknesses, that's okay that they're there. It might be good that they're there. Who did God use to beat Goliath? David. He found the smallest, not the biggest. Right? Who did God use? Who did God entrust his message to? The message of salvation. He put his son on the cross with the idea that this one moment was going to bring salvation to mankind. Who did he entrust this message to get it out? To get this message out to all the world? Bunch of fishermen. Uneducated. No, you know, they were just a bunch of fishermen. He didn't go to the biggest leaders, the best spokesmen, the people in charge, the people everyone looked up to, most influential. No, he told a bunch of fishermen. That's what he trusts his message to. God refers to the message so that he gets credit, he gets glory. All right? It's on us not just to add it up and see if it adds up and then move forward. Right? We've got to step out in faith. Because it's not based on our abilities, but on God's strength. Third, the thing we've got to remember, this is kind of the same thing. Obedience will involve risk. Obedience is going to involve risk. When we add it up, it's not going to add up, and you got to step out anyway. Lots of times, we think, you know, you guys hear the saying, where God guides, you provide. You guys heard that? We throw it around the church. Where God guides, you provide. And sometimes we take that to mean, all right, if God's really guiding this, let's sit back and see if he provides for it. And if he provides for it, that's evidence that he's going to do it. No, it doesn't work that way. It never works that way in the Bible. It's the other way around. Where he guides, where you step out, then he provides. Right? It's going to involve a step of faith, of getting out. It involves action. If we're going to respond to God's call in our life, you can't stay where you are. Right? It's going to mean stepping out. You don't get to stay in comfort to check out ahead of time to see if it's going to work and then step out. Right? It's going to involve stepping out and risk. Right? It did for Gideon. He called Gideon to go defeat the Midianites. It's not like he said, okay, they're all dead. You can go on in now. He made those 300 get their swords and get all ready, and he made them march into an enemy camp. And then he delivered them. But they still had to step out. They had to put their necks on the line. He called Joshua to cross the Jordan. He said, you guys got to cross the Jordan? Doggone them to get their feet wet. You know that? He didn't move that water until their feet were in the water. It's not like the guy would have waited until them, because they would have still be there today, wait for that water to move. Okay? Then they put their feet in the water, and then it moved. Okay? We've got to be willing to step out in faith. Right? We've got to take that step. We've got to be willing to do that. Moses had to go stand in front of Pharaoh. Right? Abraham had to leave everything and move. We've got to take that step in faith. If God's putting a call on your life, it's not going to add up. It's not going to work out. The numbers aren't going to work, but God's asking you to do it anyways. And I worry that we don't experience the power of God in our life because we're afraid of stepping out for him. Yes. That when we add it up, it doesn't make sense. We say, my skills don't match that, therefore he must have it wrong. And then we don't step out. And because we don't step out, we don't experience him in that way. And we don't see his power working that way. And we wonder, why doesn't God work in my life like he does in this other person's life? God's power is so evident in their life, but not evident in my life. Well, my question for you is, have you stepped out? Are you dependent on his power? Is there any area of your life that if God's power wasn't there, you'd be on your back? Right? Have you really stepped out for him? We wonder why God doesn't work in our lives the same way. We wonder why God doesn't do the same things in our lives that we see in the Bible. The Bible, God's doing amazing things. Why doesn't it work that way in my life? Well, all through the Bible, they're taking crazy risks for God. They're stepping out in answer to his call. And don't say, well, that's not really fair because he speaks audibly there. If I saw a burning bush and he spoke audibly to me, of course I would do it then. Right? We think, that's fair. You would think that could be fair. But check this out. Back then, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them, speaking to them from the inside. All they had was this one encounter with this experience where they had a verbal. So yes, they got to hear it verbally, but we get the Holy Spirit inside of us, constantly egging us on, constantly working in us. And that is better. You got it easier than they had. If you heard it one time, you could explain away. Oh, that can't be right. You're going to forget about it. The Holy Spirit will let you, right? He's working at you from the inside. Jesus, before he went to the cross, he told the disciples, they were all bummed that he was leaving. He said, hey, it's a good thing I'm going. It's good that I'm leaving, because when I'm leaving, you know who's coming? The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to live inside of you. It's about to get better. So we got it better, right, than they did. Okay, we have it better. So we need to respond. We got to step out. And when we do, what's the result? When we step out for him, the result is this. God reveals himself to you and to a watching world. When we step out that way, God reveals himself to you and to a watching world. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I realize I got to make a little parenthesis note here for you guys. make sure we don't mess this part up. What I'm talking about, everything I said today, is referring to when God puts a call on your life. When God leads you to do something. When you know it's God. When God puts a moving on your head, you know it's not of you, it's of God. This is not talking about your inner inkling. Like, I've always dreamed of doing this, therefore I'm going to pursue my dreams. Okay? This isn't saying, well, you know, I've always wanted to play point guard for the Lakers. And, you know, and yes, my skills don't match up with the needs of the position, but where I am weak, God is strong. The success is not based on my abilities, but on God's power. Therefore, I'm leaving my job, I'm leaving my family, I'm going to pursue my dream and be point guard for the Lakers. Right? It's not that, okay? This is not that. This is not you being tired of your job. I've always wanted to quit that job. I'm going to quit it. I'm going to tell my boss off. This isn't, oh, I want to go, I've always wanted to open my own business. This says I need to take that risk and open my business. This isn't any of those things. This is when God puts a call on you. And I'm telling you, if it's like, I can't wait to do it, I bet it's not God's call, right? Because using God's call is like, are you kidding me? And you know it's not of you. It didn't come from anywhere inside of you. You know that, right? And so that's what we're talking about today. When God puts a call on your life, so don't take this and say, oh, I'm going to take that risk. I heard what Pastor Tom said, and I'm gonna go leave my spouse and go after that younger lady. No. Okay? No. I'm not saying no. No. Okay? This isn't about following your dreams. It's about following God's call. We understand that part? Don't. Please. Get that part. Okay. Okay. And when we get it right, God's going to reveal himself to you and to a watching world. You're going to experience God in a new way. When you're out there on a limb, and it's just, if God's going to come through, you're going to fly on your face. And then when he comes through, holy guacamole. It's like, it's the best. I can tell you from experience. You're going to experience God in a new way, in a life-changing way, in a valuable way. Not only to you, but God's also going to reveal himself to a watching world. When he does work in our lives, when he comes through this and through a call like this, it's not just about our life. He can bring glory to himself in a lot of ways. When he had the Israelites cross the Red Sea, this is what he said, I will receive glory by means of Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am Lord. When Joshua crossed the Jordan, this is so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always hear the Lord your God. When Israel had a victory in 2 Chronicles 20, the terror of God was on all the kingdoms of the land when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. From King Nebuchadnezzar, he throws in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, and when God saves him, he said, King Nebuchadnezzar said this, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is no other God who is able to deliver like this. When we step out in faith and follow God's call in our life, we experience that. He reveals himself to us, but also to a watching world. He's going to get glory from those around us. Do you ever wonder that maybe the reason the world isn't all that attracted to God and to the church is because they never get to see him at work? That because the churches of America, the Christians of America, that we don't step out enough in faith, and therefore they don't get to see the power of God at work. Because we stay in our safe little cocoons and willing to step out. I mean, maybe we as a church, we need to be willing to step out. Maybe you as an individual need to step out. Maybe God's been calling you to do something. And you've been explaining the way, you've done the math, it doesn't add up. So that can't be right. You got the wrong person. That can't be right. Maybe God's been calling you to do something. And if he's not, I bet he will. Get ready. Start listening. Or maybe you're hoping he'll call you to do something. Keep praying. Keep asking. Because that means if he's not telling you yet, and you say, God, what you will, and he hasn't told you yet, get ready. It's going to be a doozy. Okay? I begged him for 2 years. What you will for me? And finally he revealed that. I said, what? Crazy. Maybe he's in the process of getting ready to hear it. But whatever the case, after our closing questions, it's best we've got. What has God been calling you to do? What has God been calling you to do? Has God been calling you to do something? Some major life change? Something's going to take an action? May seem crazy and impossible? Yet you know, deep down, you know it's not of you, it's of God. If that's you, and you're just crisis of faith about what you really believe about God, is it really true? You're ready to act on it? Then I implore you to take that chance. Take that step out. When you know it's of God, take that step out and trust him. And then be wowed at seeing him work. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you involve us in your plans. You can accomplish these tasks and purposes in any old way. You don't need us. But you choose to use us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the experience, being able to experience you in that. God, I pray for everyone here today that they would be very in tune to your voice. And God, that they would trust you fully. when those numbers don't add up, and it doesn't make sense, and they think that can't be right, that they would still just focus instead on you. They would trust in you and your power. God, I pray as a church we continue to be seeking after you and what you want us to do in our community for you. God, we just entrust our life to you. We thank you. We call you Lord of our life because you've earned that spot. And God, whenever we try to wrestle you off the throne so we can sit up, God, I pray that that isn't possible. So God, I lift up my church family to you here today, that each one could know you through this experience. In Jesus' name, amen.